Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 594 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockhart.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? And no Colton this week. He is doing some work stuff, so he's not allowed to talk about video games during this time. But yeah, we've got a pretty fun show for you guys today. We've got two new patrons, a little bit of LeagueCast news, probably going to hear about some tournament results, a decent number of things in the new news. Pretty excited about all of these, to be honest. We'll hear from NordVPN. And then move into Roundtable and Mail Fight. Aiden, how was your week, buddy?
Mike was good. Played a little bit of Ranked on my main. Played a little bit of Ranked on my Smurf. Got my Smurf to Master here after my seventh attempt at getting Master here on my Smurf. So no one stops me from hitting Master here seven times.
We're all going to make it.
Yeah. And then I've recently been playing on my, I think it's like a platform account or something from last year. I think it, like, I ended platform, but I think it also, like, decayed from, like, diamond, maybe, or something like that. Because my MMR on it, like, I'm playing my promotion, or placement games, I guess is what they're called, and I was gold 2, and I'm playing in, like, D4 lobbies, and now I'm platform playing in, like, D2 lobbies. So, it's a little wacky, but I'm winning all the games. It is crazy, yeah. Like, if you play the game actively, how good you are. Like, I think it just goes for anyone. If you, like, actively, like, are warmed up and whatever. Because, like, I'm playing against, like, D2 top laners, and I'm fucking just washing them every game. Like, and it's like, D2 is not like low ELO or whatever, but like, since I've just been playing like perma 500 points master like games, sometimes even higher, it just feels like these games are so easy.
that's funny. It's funny that you would say that. I do think like being warmed up is like a crazy good benefit to have compared to, I don't know, the alternative.
Yeah, I played against a fucking D1 Darius main like earlier, and it's just like, I don't know, man. I just fucking, that's a matchup that like a year ago me would have just, I would have lost 100 times over, but I just feel good playing.
Hell yeah.
Which is cool. Still don't think I'm gonna go for GM, because I mean I'm still like a little depressed about trying to get to fucking 700 points when it's just, I don't know, it just feels impossible to reach. Even feel bad. I was looking at Dan Man, friend of the show. He was GM 850 or something like that last week. And now he's master 430, and it's like, well, that's just miserable, because like now he has to climb another like 250 points to get back to like this rank that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that sucks.
I don't know. Yeah, I think the whole master grandmaster challenger system is not optimal, but I guess there's no real good way to fix it. You know what I mean? Unless you introduce more artificial ranks, which is still the exact same thing, but with just different colors on it. You know what I mean? Different, like, packaged different ways. But either way, I'm enjoying League. It's fun. Have done a ton of community games these past couple weeks.
You've been crushing.
Played a top thresh game where I played Static Ship top thresh, like from the boss has been playing it on his like main account, or his Smurf account, I guess. It's the one that has his account name, but it's not actually his main account. And it's pretty good. Definitely see how, like, if you lose like lane on it, you probably just like go 0-15 and then get reported, then permabanned. But in a community game, it was super fun to play. Outside of that, did the random tournament this past weekend, which was super fun. Congrats to Soda's team. They are all just Giga Chads who are good at the game, despite not ever playing ranked. So
hell yeah.
They fuck up my tournament seeding every single time, because they're all easily like high plat low diamond players, but none of them play ranked, so they're all just perma gold players. It's just funny because they're all just really good. I just feel like none of them enjoy playing even Summoner's Rift. They only play ARAM.
oh interesting. Okay,
yeah, they're all good though. I think one of their friends played ranked for like the first time this season, and he's plat 1 though, so
that's pretty crazy.
I think they're all around that level though.
Yeah, that's really impressive, I feel like, especially for that level, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they all just play Giga Chad characters like Fiora, Irelia, Akali, you know, shit like that. So, Yone.
Hell yeah.
Outside of that, though, tournament really went really well. We probably saw like over 130 different characters played over like a 5-hour period, which was super fun. We got to witness Pards Bay's fucking support Shaco, which I had no faith in to be able to play, but he kind of carried that game. That was probably the most fun game to watch. If anyone went back on my like Twitch, I think it's like game 4, where Pard's Bay's team had, you know, they have Shaco support, they have top Taric, jungle Viego.
I think it's game 3. I think it's the one right after I left.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's what Pard's
it's
saying.
A really good game though, man. Fucking like top Taric just carrying a game is so fun to watch.
Hell yeah.
And I feel like that's the only time, this is the only format you'd ever see something like that. Yeah. So really, really cool. And then yeah, that's kind of it, I guess. Just very fun tournament overall. I really like the format. The randomness was fun. I also like the idea of, it's not really like normal tournament structure, and I feel like it confused a couple people, but I like the idea of having these round robin groups where then everyone plays the same number of games, so no one's like lose two and you're out or whatever. You get to play like the entire time, which I think is just a more fun tournament for a casual style.
Yeah,
like if you're doing like a full Summoner's Rift like regular ass tournament, then I can understand like that not being a good format, but for anything that's like not super competitive, I think just having people play the entire time and have fun is way more optimal.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe it's something that we could implement when the 2v2v2v2 mode comes out. That would be a really fun way to do it.
Yeah, it's cool. That's kind of my week though. Lots of fun, lots of good stuff. What about you?
Let's see. I think I'm down like 60 something points at this point. I had a pretty rough morning in terms of ranked, but that's all right. Still plenty of time. Got my Smurf to 29, inching closer to 30, and I still don't have enough blue essence for all of the characters in our pool. So thank you, Riot Games. Otherwise, let's see. Continuing on with Hollow Knight, I think I'm going to upset a lot of people with the way that I'm going to give my review of it when all is said and done. I don't think I'm enjoying it as much as I am supposed to, I guess. But we'll see. Maybe it'll continue. I just got the super dash, so
hell yeah.
That's where I'm at. It's a pretty cool mechanic. But yeah, I think otherwise. Oh my! So my girlfriend and I have just been playing through like a bunch of 2-player games. We just finished Magicka 2, which was okay, kind of running out of things to do in that like world, the co-op world, so gonna play through Detroit Become Human with her. We just did the very, very first part of it. I think we're gonna split it up. She plays as Marcus and Kara, and I'm gonna play as Connor. So it's gonna be fun.
And I played through it.
We'll have to hold back my disdain for David Cage games.
It's fun, man. It's the best David Cage game by like a lot.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the best. I still think like it's just thinking back to like any time he's or it's come out like, oh, you know, it's not an allegory for slavery, and then like one of the very first scenes is the is Marcus getting on the bus and he's just standing in the back of the bus with all the rest of the androids.
Yeah,
like, oh, okay, sure, yeah, whatever. So that's been interesting. I think that's pretty much it. So we'll get on with the show. We've got two patrons. Shout out to Trevor and Chandler. Thank you very much for supporting us. I guess, do you want to talk about anything else LeagueCast news related? I guess you kind of already did.
I guess the only thing is I'm almost certainly going to do like the master student thing, like the
hell yeah
platinum plus coach. Below platinum, like coaching.
Yeah.
Coach. I'm going to call it pseudo coaching because it's not actual coaching.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to do it. I'll probably have like signups and stuff go up, like maybe not this weekend, but maybe next weekend after I finalize some things. It'll be like a test run. So it'll like definitely run like the entire, like this split or whatever. So like from like July 19th to like the end. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be fun. My whole goal is that it will be an enjoyable thing where people can hopefully help each other and engage more in the community. And my only hope is that no one gets upset because I don't want to have to deal with people being like, my coach doesn't coach me enough.
Yeah,
when they're not actually a coach and they're just giving their free time to help.
It's not going to be very fun.
That's going to be my goal. Because if not, I get like no complaints, I'll probably do it again. If I get enough complaints, I probably won't want to do it again.
Yeah, understandable.
So that's good. And I'm also probably going to do the big like highest mastery champion 1v1 thing again. That's probably not going to be for a while because I'm going to do it like the day that not Nefiri gets released, but the next character whose name is like Briar, I think. There's like the vampire character. But I don't think that character is going to get released probably until like September or something like that.
So yeah.
Maybe even later. But if that character, when that character comes out, I'll probably launch that 1v1 thing. Weeks leading up to it, though, I'll probably put out like the applications for signing up for the character you're going to play in it. And it's going to be based on purely just highest mastery score. So get spamming characters that you want to play.
Start boosting that up. That's funny.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we get into the show proper then?
Yeah.
Let's do the patch first because I think it's the most boring thing here, surprisingly it's super enough. So patch 13.13, we'll just jump right off. They talk about the ranked reset for the mid-season or split one. Check your times on here, but it's the 19th through the 21st, it looks like, based on server.
That's when the new season starts. So the season ends on the 17th, and then the new season starts on the 19th. There's like a two-day down period
between.
But just like as a reminder, obviously it's based on like your own like time zone, gotcha. But that's kind of the gist of it.
Okay, cool. So we'll get into the champion. The champion changes. Annie, Q magic damage is decreased.
Woo! Aphelio, Severum lifesteal decrease, Gravitum slow duration decrease, Crescendum base attack speed decrease. The only one that matters is the Chakram one. But
yeah, I think actually think the Gravitum's pretty good too, because I think the slow duration on attacks is like, that's not super important, but I think that's also the reactivation time for the root.
If it works that way, then it will be big. If it doesn't, like you still have 3.5 seconds to reactivate it sort of thing, then I don't think this change affects him at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like it's based on the slow, but I could be wrong about that.
I'm trying to look into it right now, but it's very confusing.
Yeah, for sure. I imagine that wiki page is not.
Oh yeah, no, it says Aphelios expunges all enemies with Gravitum slow, so it should affect that, which that would be pretty big. Yeah, because the biggest thing is you see pros like auto them once
and you just wait
3.5 seconds and then you get to stun them for a second. Yeah
it's either that or just instantly. So
yeah.
Cool. Ivern is up next. W on hit magic damage is decreased. Daisy move speed decreased. And the slam base damage is decreased.
I'm surprised they didn't hotfix her before this.
Like, yeah, I'm actually surprised that there's not more nerfs.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the base damage. It doesn't change any of his scalings or anything like that, which I think was the biggest issue, right?
Yeah, I feel like Daisy just proccing on hit stuff is like an issue in itself, but I also understand that you can't just like, they can't just go, okay, we're going to remove that, like, because you have to turbo buff the character, and that just sounds like a lot of work on their plate. But
that's interesting. I so before this week, I did not realize that Daisy procced on hit abilities. Like
only
that.
With like the rework thingy, like the mini rework. That's when it started.
Oh, okay. So really, really recent.
Gotcha. Yeah, so like you'll see like stuff like top laner, top Ivern's running press the attack on them because you hit six, you summon a bush, summon Daisy in the bush, put a shield on her, throw your Q, Daisy jumps to them, slows them, and then procs press the attack and knocks them up like without them being able to do anything, which is a crazy combo.
That's interesting. I don't see. Oh, okay. It says Daisy applies spell effects.
Yeah.
Huh. But. Interesting. I wonder if it's a bug with press the attack. It seems like it shouldn't work that way.
Yeah, it does, which is, it's crazy. Huh. I don't even think it's like that optimal. It's only like kind of useful for that. Like most people still run Aerie on her, which she can obviously proc by autoing, but
yeah.
Press the attack seems like a wacky combo for Daisy to be able to do.
Gotcha. Yeah, it does. It does. Cool. That was Ivern.
Next is Kindred. Base health and armor decreased.
Skipping Lee Sin. Q damage is increased. Yay.
Are you doing the full one where both parts of his Q get... Trying to figure... Okay, it's wait.
It looks like they only buffed bonus attack damage ratios.
Yeah. They took away the... They were going to also buff the base damage as well. So they're not doing the double buff.
They added like 50 damage to... Q1 and Q2, right? Initially,
yeah.
And the ratio buffs, yeah. Yuck, yucky.
So they pulled some of that. I mean, I like at least, and I feel like we talked about this a little bit on the Discord, where it'd be really interesting if they didn't only just fucking change his Q and his R over and over. Like,
and
I think
only
it'd
the
cool
damage ratios
like,
for it too. They don't change anything else about it.
Yeah, it feels like it would be really cool if like he had less damage but was able to make more plays with his W. Like, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Next is Nico. Her Q cooldown is increased. Her W damage is adjusted and her R is adjusted. The biggest change about her R is that she now like comes out of disguise for the... She's only disguised for the first 0.5 seconds when she's disguised and uses R. Mm-hmm. So she's revealed for the next like 0.75 rather than being disguised for like the entire first part of it, which was gross.
Yeah, super gross. Nidalee, base move speed is increased.
Woo. Next is Rek'Sai, base attack damage decreased, base health decreased. The health change is the bigger one. It's going down by 40. It's mostly a nerf for like top lane Rek'Sai. I mean, obviously, it's going to affect jungle Rek'Sai as well, but the health nerf will more directly affect top Rek'Sai. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah. I'm surprised these changes aren't bigger. She has a pretty disgusting win rate right now, right?
She's the best jungler in the game for sure.
Yeah, I think someone said that she doesn't have any losing matchups on like... for anyone in the entire game, and I looked it up and she's right, or they're right. There's some that are close, like Fiddlesticks is what, 50.7 it looks like, but she's
crazy.
She's sitting at a 54.5% win rate in plat plus.
That's right. Well, that's wild. I don't know. I haven't seen that character lose. Actually, I've seen that character lose once because that was the game where I played support and then my jungler told me that I make people's lives worse by playing support and not dodging. But yeah. That's the only game of Rek'Sai I've seen lose so far. Cool. Next is Rell, whose health regeneration growth is decreased. Base MR is decreased. MR growth is decreased. Q damage to monsters is increased. W shield decreased. Dismounted attack speed adjusted. And E monster damage is increased. So nerfs to support Rell, buffs to jungle Rell. I don't know why we're trying to make her work for jungle, but...
Yeah, good question. I don't really know either. I feel like I'm an outspoken... anti-jungle buff person. I don't like when
it's just
characters
arbitrary,
receive
right?
like random jungle buffs. Yeah,
like in theory every single character in the game could receive monster damage buffs and they just kind of pick and choose which ones they want to, right?
Yeah And I just think it's like really lame when like, oh, Morgana is the best jungler in the game right now because she received damage buffs and not because like she actually fulfills a purpose in the jungle, you know?
Yeah. So no, for sure. I mean, like, the reality is, like, look at a character. Like, obviously, I'm just going to use Tahm Kench as an example. Like, there's a world in which they just add, like, monster damage to his W, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, and that's just so arbitrary. Like, yep. And then he'd probably be playing jungle. Like,
yeah. Cool. So, and then next up is Varus. W on hit magic damage is increased, and the damage per blight stack is decreased.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad. This is probably needed. They even said, like, it's certainly an interesting build and quite strong, but his unique niche is ideal 1,000 plus 60% of your maximum health at 1,200 range.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
Too good.
I'm glad they're nerfing it. Next is Vi. Her passive shield is decreased. Her R cooldown is increased. Only big change here is that, like, 20 seconds on her rank 1 R is pretty big because you try to use it on cooldown usually early. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Then we have Wukong. E damage to monsters modifier removed. So it does slightly, well, it does normal damage to monsters.
Yeah.
Cool.
Next is Duskblade. It's getting the bug fix. So takedowns while channeling no longer proc it. So no more Samira ulting with Duskblade or Misfortune ulting with Duskblade. So good change.
Get the hell out of here, Samira. Essence Reaver. It is the damage calculation is being changed. It's less bonus attack damage and more base attack damage. So theoretically, this is a nerf to AD carries who build this and a buff to top laners who build this.
Yeah, for sure. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I guess like this is like honestly kind of a direct nerf at like fucking Rengar as well. Like Rengar is like a character who abused old Essence Reaver really bad because he gets like the most AD in the game,
yeah,
right?
He gets
so
a
like
lot
now
of, mm-hmm.
you're having the amount of AD ratio that you're getting from it. So that's a pretty direct nerf to Rengar, which is nice.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I forgot that his passive stacks count as bonus attack damage and not base.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
next to static. Thank fucking God this item is dead, by the way. They are changing the energized minion damage to have no AP scaling. So your AP doesn't affect the like bolt damage to minions. And the bolt damage to champions is going from 50% AP ratio down to 30%. So
it's
this item... It's obviously still buildable on AD carries. Like, it's still good on, like, a lot of AD carries that can, like, don't mind having, like, a magic damage, like, integrate in their team. Like, so, like, Kai'Sa.
Yeah.
Sivir's even, like, honestly not awful with it, to be honest. And it's going to be, maybe still, honestly, it still might be buildable on LeBlanc, but it won't be, like, OP, and it won't be built on, like, every fucking character in the game.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. On one hand, obviously the item, like, being built as often as it is means that there's... like some problem with it, it needs to be addressed. But I think you and I are on the same page where like the item itself is not like, it's not terribly OP. It's just like slightly too strong. And I think it's only because like you can wave clear and do other things. Like the damage to champions is fine, if not even a little low.
I just like disliked how it turned the game into PvE. Like the biggest strength of it is the fact that you can now go from being like an average player who farms 6 CS a minute to farming 10 CS a minute because you bought this item. That's like crazy. And then B, I fucking hated like you'd kill like 3 people on the enemy team, and because one of their 2 remaining people has static shift, they'd auto the wave once and then clear it so you can't siege, which is fucking crazy. So it's like you have to play this game at least at high elo. That's how it's been, where like, oh, they have a Shiv user up, so we have to dive their Shiv user before they can touch the wave once, which is, it's fucking crazy. Like,
yeah, that's pretty wild. Not a very fun way to play the game, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good.
Stormraiser. Sorry, I was finding the place again. It looks like the base damage is going up. The ratios are going down with the AP ratio being removed. Boy, this seems like a bad change.
Yeah, it seems very strong. Like, once again, they said this is a Rengar nerf. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Rengar, like, it's weird that, like, this is, like, the opposite of, like, what we're seeing with, like, their patch preview before they pulled all the top lane changes, where it's like, fuck, all these top lane changes feel like they're nerfing these things because AD carries are strong, like the ghost nerf and, like, stuff like that, where it feels like AD carries are getting fucked because Rengar builds all the items.
That's always been the case. I feel like, maybe not with Rengar, but, you know, with Trinomir, Yasuo, Master Yi, like, historically, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Just some ARAM adjustments. The only notable one that I think is fucking funny is Aatrox is getting buffs.
Oh, yay.
Like, Aatrox is one of the strongest ARAM characters in the game.
Yeah, you and I have opinions on ARAM Aatrox, and that is, he is not weak.
Yeah, he's gross.
Cool. And then some skins that you could look at. and I think, didn't they... Okay, if you look in the patch preview, this is weird. In the skin section.
Nivea.
Yeah, the Victorious Nivea is there, but it is not in the patch. Maybe it's in the ranked part that we missed, that we skipped over.
That probably is like text, yeah. So Victorious Nivea is the ranked Victorious skin for this year. If you hit gold, or if you play enough games below gold, you'll get a chroma to up to whatever elo you get. They all look pretty good. I think the Grandmaster one looks the best.
Is kind of sad.
Yeah, every year it's different though. There's definitely years where I thought the plat one looks the best.
Yeah.
Very rarely is it the diamond one, because I feel like it's kind of like this washed out bluey color,
like light blue. And
Challenger's cool usually, but no one's ever gonna hit Challenger, so
yeah. Cool, awesome. So let's get into the rest of it. I think Nefiri will be up next. So her abilities got leaked first, and then it was the trailer that got leaked first, and then her like kind of official release. People are upset about this character and the lore behind it.
Oh really?
Yeah, we can. So apparently Darken weapons are never ever ever supposed to break ever, which is like the whole point of Aatrox not being able to kill himself. And why he like just fucking tries to fight everyone so he can find someone to kill him. So I don't know. People are angry about that. Nefiri, her passive, We Are More. She spawns wolves that attack the targets of her attacks and abilities. Her Q is Darken Daggers. She throws 2 daggers, each if inflicting bleed or inflicting bonus damage if they're already bleeding. Her dogs will leap to champions hit by the skill. Her W is Hound's Pursuit. She and her dogs dash at an enemy, colliding with the first champion hit and dealing damage. Can be blocked a la Caitlyn ultimate. Her E is Eviscerate. She dashes and damages enemies in an area, recalling and healing her packmates to full. And her ultimate is Call of the Pack. She empowers her pack and spawns additional packmates, gaining a burst of speed and vision and a shield when she attacks a champion. On the first champion takedown, all effects are refreshed. So this has been marketed as a very simple assassin to play and a way to teach you how to be a good assassin.
Yeah, the most simple assassin. But that being said, they also said that she's still more difficult than like other classes, because assassins are typically a pretty difficult class, I would say, overall.
Yeah.
But she is apparently the most simple assassin ever released.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I mean, I don't like the idea. I think it probably is a class that should be like very difficult to play.
Yeah.
Because usually the whole point is that they're high damage, high mobility. It feels like they're not an assassin if they're not high damage, high mobility. And then it feels like if you have high damage, high mobility, easy is probably not the thing you should tack on after that.
Yeah. Definitely not. But
who
ideal.
Knows? Maybe she's an assassin with like less mobility or less damage than other assassins, right? Like, I guess you could adjust those levers. If those are the three core levers to designing a character for like an assassin, if you will, you can think of like the highest ones, like being like let's just say Zed, right? Where he's super high damage, pretty high mobility, but he's pretty fucking hard to play. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play with those. I feel like you can probably do that with most characters. It just feels like the way she's been pitched so far is that she's easy, so her easy scales all the way up. We don't know her damage because we haven't seen anything, right? And then mobility looks, I guess, like she has some dashes and she also has like movement speed burst with her ult. So it's not like the craziest assassin mobility, but it really depends on how much damage she's going to fucking do, I think.
Yeah, definitely damage is going to be an important aspect behind it. Shouldn't be pumping out like high level, you know, Zed single target damage if you're playing like Garen. I think it's been cited specifically. She's like not Garen or Annie, but still.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think she's cool. I'm excited. I think like, I'm definitely not excited about her like easiness for an assassin and stuff like that. But I do think it's cool that we're getting a non-humanoid character, because the last one was Yumi 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you want to tell me about the Soul event? Soul Fighter event?
Yeah. There's a shitload of stuff here. So first, let's just begin with the fact that the upcoming event is called Soul Fighter 2023. And I would say about 50% of people who read that, they go, oh, this is Project L news.
understandable.
Which is not even like people like, I think in our Discord, someone like watched the full video, but they didn't have volume on maybe or something like that. And they're like, oh, is this about Project L?
It was Pards. I'm going to call them out. Yeah, it was Pards.
Even like the event is like the in-game event in client is like, a fighting game event,
yeah,
which is fucking confusing if you know that they're making a fighting game. But anyways, the gist of it is it's a League of Legends event that spans over to TFT, Legends of Runeterra, and the other game. Wild Rift. That is their other game. So the biggest thing to come in League of Legends, which we'll touch on first, is the new game mode, which is the Arena, which is called... it just says Arena, actually. It's just called Arena. It's a fucking dog shit name.
Cool.
We'll talk about that in a second. So the things that are to come are the new game mode, Arena, Champion Launch, Nefiri, a bunch of skins, including the Samira Ultimate skin, which I don't think we have to talk about yet, but like... They definitely are tempering expectations with what ultimates are against.
Ooh, okay.
Still cool. It's just not like, I mean, the reality is they should have never fucking made elementals Lux. They fucked themselves. So
yeah.
And then we're getting a new pass, and then we're getting the in-client metagame experience, the Tournament of Souls, which is going to be this weird fighting game in-game client thing where like, it looks like you press buttons and like fight a different character in like a fighting game thing, but it's not Project L. So I mean, maybe it's fun. I guess it's more fun than anything they've done, like, I guess, in clients. It's not like just a visual novel and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the only other thing they've done, right, is a VN. So
yeah. And then coming to the other game modes for Teamfight Tactics, a bunch of cosmetic stuff. They have their own game mode called Tournament of Souls. Sorry, that's their game mode is called Soul Brawl. Sorry, I found it, which looks pretty cool. And then for Wild Rift, they also have their own game mode, which is called Tag Duel, which I'm not sure if you've seen anything about the Wild Rift game mode now.
I have not.
It's a 1v1 game mode, but you select three characters, and you can switch between them on the fly.
So a fighting game.
Like, you're still playing League of Legends, though,
oh,
right?
Oh,
so like,
that's sick. Okay.
Yeah, so, like, you can like, say, knock up someone with, like, you could, like, Orianna ult someone, switch to Yasuo, and then Yasuo ult.
That's cool.
For example. I'm not sure if you can actually use ults like that, but, like, yeah, that would be, like, the example of how you do it, which sounds fucking cool. I would love to see something like that in League of Legends. That would be insane.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, super, super cool. And then Legends of Runeterra is getting fucked. They just get some card art, which is cool. well, let's talk about the game mode, the Arena, which is the highly anticipated 2v2v2v2 game mode. So I'm excited. So you can queue up with alone. You'll be paired with someone, or you can queue up with a duo. In pick ban, everyone gets a ban, and then you move it into a blind pick style. So you can see mirror matchups and stuff like that. There are no runes and no summoner spells in this game mode, so everything's just auto, like, done. And then you just fight. So it's a bunch of rounds where you buy something. You have, like, a starting item that you buy, and then you fight around, and then you get 3,000 gold to buy an item. You fight around, and then you choose an augment, and then you fight around, and then you buy another item, and then you fight around, and then you choose an augment, you fight around like that until the game's over, which is really, really cool.
That's cool.
And all the items are save cost, so it's like there's no, like, oh, I only have 2,400 gold. Mm-hmm. Every item's 3,000 gold, and you get 3,000 gold every, like, purchase round or whatever.
That's
so
cool.
Seems really cool. There's, like, a ton of augments, which makes shit crazy. I think they showed some examples of them. Stuff like Fireband, your attacks apply an infinitely stacking burn, dealing damage over time. Vengeance, gain massively increased damage and omnivamp when your partner is dead. And with haste, gain movement speed equal to double your ability haste. Like, tons of fun stuff. Those are, like, even some of the more tame ones from what it looks like, which is cool. Like, it's in the video, I think they show, like, you can get an augment where every 12 seconds, your character randomly shoots out a Blitzcrank hook. That's fun.
Okay. So,
It seems like a good mix of, like, this brawling type game mode, but also still, like, a fun game mode that, like, it's not like you should go into it every single game just trying to win, because, like, there's some goofy shit that's gonna happen.
Yeah,
which good seems fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's cool.
Hell yeah, that sounds awesome. And when is this coming?
This comes out late July, I believe. I'm trying to find the exact date. I think it's late July, though. It's after whatever, like, this. Dude, I hate the events that we currently have where it's, like, just you can buy boxes and that's the event.
Yeah.
Those are really shit. But this seems really cool. Also, like, there's, like, a ton of different arenas. So it's not like you're playing in the same arena every, like, game. It's like there's, like, four or five arenas that you can play in, mm-hmm, that are randomly determined each game, which is cool. There's also a ranking system. It's going to be similar to, like, the TFT Hyper Roll ranking system where you just, like, progress through the ranks with a number from Wood to Gladiator.
Whoa.
We're gonna hit Gladiator together, right?
Yeah. We're gonna do it.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun if we, like, I have, like, my main account as my tryhard account where I play, like, to Gladiator with you, and then mm-hmm, other accounts just to play with, like, homies and stuff.
Hell yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Looks really cool, though. I'm excited for it. This, hopefully, they said it's not going to launch with, like, custom game type stuff. That being said, this is from a dev blog, like, 2 months ago or whatever. They were hoping to, after the first patch, have it so that you can queue up with, like, up to 8 people, similar to, like, TFT, and then you just get placed in a game with all your friends.
Okay.
I think that would be cool, because if they don't do that, it's gonna fucking, like, suck again, where it's like, we have a community that I'd love to just play this with, like, for 5 hours straight.
Yeah, this would be a sick a really sick community night.
Yeah, so hopefully that'd be cool. We'll see.
Awesome.
I'm excited.
Cool. And we already talked about the dev blog too, right?
Yeah, that was kind of just going through that with all the information. That's where most of the information is from. I'd recommend people reading it. Lots of other cool stuff in there. Like, they explain how stuff actually works. But
gotcha. I wasn't sure if you had anything else to add about that, but awesome. Should we hear from...
They also said... this event... also no ad read.
Oh, okay. Okay, never mind.
But the event is going to last 6 weeks, by the way, which is pretty long, so we're getting this game for at least 6 weeks. They said it is not permanent, but I also think that's partially because A, it probably takes a lot of time to upkeep something like this, mm-hmm, and then B, last time they said a game mode is going to be permanent was Nexus Blitz, and then the fucking play rate died down immediately, so they pulled it. I feel like they probably, with the amount of time they're putting into something like this, they probably want it to maybe not be permanent, but at least return a lot. I mean, you don't design this much shit. I just think that they're probably not going to ever call it permanent because they don't want to pull something. You know, it feels worse to have something taken away from you than like have something given to you over and over, right? I guess is the way I'd look at it.
Yeah, but for sure.
I'm excited for it. Also, like just about the patch notes, I forgot to mention it. This is a 3-week patch because they're taking their mid-year break, whatever, like next week or the week after. This is our last patch for the season, by the way.
How dare Riot take breaks?
Yeah, fuck Riot.
I can't believe they do that. Awesome. So yeah, no Nord. Should we jump into roundtable? Do you have a little guffaw that you wanna do?
We could do a quick little guffaw. You want to quickly look over all the past Midscope updates because there was a Reddit post about this.
Sure.
It was mostly a negative Reddit post. It was a fuck Riot post.
Shocking.
Where it was, I was like, I can't believe Riot's not doing any more Midscope updates. It's ridiculous that they've been so well received and they like broke down all the Midscope updates, which their basis of titling it that was that Riot said there's not going to be a Midscope update for the rest of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
So in their mind, they said they're never going to do them again, but I don't know. It's fucking ridiculous. So I'm going to break down like the ones that I think qualify, I guess, like before they didn't used to have this like title of Midscope update.
Okay.
But the first one that I think they was a real Midscope, because the way that Midscope worked originally, at least, was these low, like they're champion updates, but not like super high end. So like they can mostly be done by like the balance team rather than having to pull in like art and sound and all this other shit. So it's usually you'll see characters' abilities flopped, maybe like one new animation, but usually it's nothing that's going to take too much of like dev time from like other people. So like the very first one was the Wukong one. That's what I would call the very first Midscope update.
Okay.
Where they kind of gave him the double alt. They gave him, they didn't really change that much about him. They gave him a new passive, right? What do you think about that? I feel like that one was just super boring.
Yeah, that one was a little boring. I think like it would behoove us to talk about this in like a balance like standpoint, because obviously Wukong has been like pretty strong for a long time now. But overall, like I compared to where he was at like previously, I think it's done a really good job to kind of fix some of his shortcomings and help him become a pretty meta staple for a while now, at least.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it was overall good. It's just like a little bit on the boring side, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the idea of just making his alt go twice is so funny to me.
Yeah.
Cool. Next one was Tom Kench, who received the W and R swap. I guess I have opinions on this one where I think it's way better for the game that he works this way. That being said, I do miss a lot of his old mechanics.
Yeah.
Just because I think his most fun mechanic in the game is eating people. And the fact that you get to do that less with this is, I would say, less fun. That being said, I think he's way better for the game in his current iteration.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I miss backdooring, man. I fucking, like, the amount of times where, like, the enemy has, like, an open nexus or, like, an open inhibitor or whatever, and I'm like, fuck, if I had my old ultimate, I could just TP myself there and then win the game. It's like, fuck, that was such a fun thing to do.
God, I forgot about that, like, aspect of him. That's crazy, huh? Yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, previously Tom Kench was, like, I mean, meta warping, right? He was the, like, peel 80 or peel support, so anything, I don't know, you just shut down so many options that it's probably a good thing that it got swapped.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess what's your opinion like from an outside perspective, because I obviously am super biased about that.
I think it has made his gameplay more interesting, obviously healthier. And I think it's added a lot more like interactability to, I guess interaction is that word, not interactability. Interaction to like laning, both in the support role and as a solo laner, where, you know, you can hit the tongue into the knockup and fight from there, as opposed to what, only having the tongue into eat. Like, it's probably less fun for the Tom Kench player, but I think it is better for the game.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Cool. Next one is, I guess the Swain one was a full update, wasn't it? Or was it not? I can't remember the Swain one, actually.
Oh, no, the Swain one was a full one. Because because they changed like everything. Well, he's gotten like a couple. Like
his and Olaf's released the same time. The main update was the fact that they both got the perma stacking ults. That was like the mid scope. Okay, for them, right.
Gotcha.
So I guess we can kind of talk about them together because that's the main thing that's changed. Sure. Obviously, Olaf got the things like his passive was changed around. He got the shield thingy. But for the most part, I would say the main draw to those two characters was the fact that they got these infinite scaling like time ultimates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like it hasn't changed Swain like a ton. No. Obviously it's better than it was before, but I still just don't think it's that like, it's certainly not as impactful as, Olaf having permanent uptime potentially.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Olaf's is definitely the scarier of the two. Mm-hmm. I still don't like that. Like Swain's feels like the infinite stacking just means it's up permanently if he's ever in your team at the beginning. Staying away from Olaf for 3 seconds feels doable, whereas staying away from Swain, because his stacks infinitely, but then it drops really quickly after 5 seconds out of combat. So as soon as he's in combat for like 2 seconds or whatever, it's just like, okay, he has it permanently. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like kind of defeats the purpose of how it works.
Yeah, interesting, because I feel like the other way, like for me, I feel like it's doable to sort of dodge the Swain, but I don't know how you dodge the Olaf with Ghost and the movement speed from his ulti.
Yeah, I guess just 3 seconds seems like I'm much more like I wish Swain is also capped at 3 seconds. I just don't like the timing more than anything, because the reality is like as soon as he's in the fight for 1 second, it's up for seven. Like,
okay, yeah,
which is crazy. But yeah, I do agree that Olaf's kit works way better with that mechanic than Swain. Swain's is like, okay, you have to buy Rallies, you have to hit your E's. Mm-hmm.
Probably also have to have Ghost.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, I can see that.
Cool. Next is Talia, where it's pretty old. Just they swap back her. Or like her Q to being the rapid fire thing, and then they also change it so like she has the big Qs and stuff. AoE plus the big Qs, I guess, is the only change there. Kind of boring, yeah, to be honest.
Pretty boring.
Next would be the Syndra one, where they gave her the stacks. Her passive. It's really just the passive rework, right? There's not much else they changed. I think they changed a couple small things. I think her stacking thing is one of the more boring ones in the game.
I think so too, and I think it's because it takes such a long time comparatively. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like bad at stacking her, but I always feel like I'm not even close to stacking it fully whenever I play her. Like primarily on ARAM, but you feel like you would be stacking that even faster, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I do like the break points and stuff like that, though. I do think you do feel powerful when you hit them, right? When you hit the 100 for like the extra AP, I think it is, right?
Yeah, it's 120
for the XP.
Mm-hmm.
I might have swapped them back, but
yeah, I think that's yeah. But yeah, cool. I think it's. I mean, she has really cool break points. I like that it interacts with all of her abilities like that as well. But it's I don't know. It's a little lackluster, I would say.
It does feel tacked on.
But, okay. I mean, compared to where she was at before, where she was just, like, the predominant lane bully mid laner, like, you know, also a solid change.
Oh, for sure. Next is Jax, who... I'm disappointed by Jax, and I don't like Jax.
Okay. Hot take.
I feel like... I mean, the biggest thing is, like, his QWE didn't really change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would say for
they're the same.
90%.
Yeah.
And it's just his ultimate, which... once again, he feels like the exact same fucking character.
Yep.
Obviously, he's better, right? Like, it does AoE magic damage for some reason, which I don't understand. But, like, it kind of does the exact same thing. I guess it's a little bit more, like, clear to see what's happening. But it's, like, honestly barely a mid-scope.
Is it more clear to see what's happening? I feel like it's kind of...
And he has a big burst of like energy, whereas before like it was just like a sound effect. Then he kind of glue a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. It's he definitely feels like a better character. Yeah, you just gave his passive an active, and then that was kind of the only change, right? So yeah. I don't know. It's I agree there.
Next is Yumi, who got the treatment where they removed the stun from her ultimate, changed her Q to be like a heal thing, removed her heal and made it a shield, removed the adaptive force and changed it to like being more attack damage thing, added the best friend bonus, probably the biggest mid scope that we've seen, I would say.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think probably the most problematic. I'm trying to think of what other ones there have been.
There's only three left after this. It's Nico, Rell, Ivern.
Okay, so maybe not the most problematic, but maybe still. I don't know. She's been a menace for a long time. I think we are kind of not like Yumi, like apologists or anything like that, but she's definitely more okay than a lot of people will indicate. But I feel like they've made her like less interactive in lane somehow.
It's just sad because like their goal definitely was to make her a beginner character that's like not good for like high level of play.
Yeah.
And she's still pretty good for high level of play. Mm-hmm. Mostly due to Zeri, by the way. She's like kind of not played without Zeri.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
A couple times with Aphelios. She's honestly like played either with Zeri or to deny her from Zeri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which is like a little funny. But I don't know. She's just boring. And I don't think boring characters should be ever seen in pro. It's the same thing with like Nefari, whatever the new dog character mm-hmm. is, where her being simple but an assassin means she's not going to see pro play or she's going to be overpowered, right?
Yeah, her numbers have to be like giga cracked or it just don't happen.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like it, as much as like the one thing, people hate Yumi so much, and I feel like I'm maybe a little bit of a Yumi apologist. I do think that there is a world in which making her so she's just not pickable in pro isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about that as a little, I guess, debate topic at some point. But I think at that point, like, where is the line and who, like, what value, like, what data is used to determine if a character should be, you know, removed from pro play or not?
I would just say, like, have pros, like, vote on it, like, overall from regions, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, like, a bad thing if she wants to be a beginner character. I don't even think she's, like, bad in solo queue right now. Like, I don't think, like, I see her, she's not, like, turbo weak, but she's also not, like, oh my god, there's a fucking Zeri, so they get to play this 4v5 where they auto-win the game. I think she's, like, actually in a really good solo queue spot. I just think that it's really lame to see the best players in the world play the easiest character in the game, right?
That I can agree with, yeah, and I think, like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's not an easy fix, or it would have been fixed by now. But yeah, I
think it would be cool if all the pros voted on it, right? Like, what if every single pro across like all the major regions voted on if they want Yumi in the game for like this season or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And they came to the conclusion that they don't. Like, why not? Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Next is Nico, who is obviously a recent update. With all the changes, she can turn into a bunch of shit. I think overall the idea is probably one of the strongest mid scopes that they've had.
I think she's good for the game. Yeah,
but I think she's really interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely leaned into the like trickster disguise thing more than it was previously, which may be a good thing, maybe not a good thing. I don't know, like. I like the change because I think like she went from what 0% play rate to actually seeing some play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always a fan of like characters getting picked. So I think I'm okay with it, but I can definitely understand people being, I don't know, anti-Nico because she warps the game or has warped the game so like so much recently.
Yeah, there probably should be some sort of like way to deal with like her turning into random shit. I do think they're doing a good job of making it so like it's not, if you know that she's something, it's less of a threat, right? Like making the alt timer or whatever. Because I'm not sure if you saw the Caps clip from like 2 weeks ago in LEC where he's literally just sitting as a minion in wave. The enemy mid laner knows he's a minion in wave.
And he still gets a kill.
But because you can disguise your alt for the entire duration, he just alts and then flashes on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a proto belt towards him, I guess, is what he did. Because I don't think you can flash during it. Where it's like, the fact that the enemy mid did he flash?
Yeah, you can flash.
Oh, you can flash.
Which is really like, funny because like compare that to, hey, we're not letting Galio taunt and flash at the same time.
But it's just like, fuck, like it feels like in that scenario, there's no way that Nico should ever have advantage, right? That's like the exact scenario where she shouldn't have advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whether it's like, maybe you should be able to damage the thing and then immediately knock her out of it, or like she even gets like a micro stun when she gets knocked out of it or something like that. Like there should be some sort of state where if you know that she's disguised something, you should have an advantage over her.
Yeah,
I think I do think them removing that stealth thingy is like definitely the first start to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's cool. Next is Rel, who they just kind of swap some shit around. I think she's way more fun to play now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to have an opinion like this early, I guess. But I think like going from old Rel to current Rel couldn't have been anything but an improvement, right? Like the old Rel was just, I feel like, very clunky and not terribly fun to play.
Yeah, she felt like shit to walk around with, which is a fucking issue.
Well, yeah, when that's like half of your kit.
And it's like, it's interesting because she's still like slow when she like walks around now, but she doesn't feel as shitty when she's walking around. Like, she's quicker, but like obviously still slowed. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad playing her. I've only played her twice, I think, since the rework, but I played her once before the rework, and I was like, fuck, I'm never playing this character again.
Yeah, I mean, when you hit the combo, it feels really, really good, and when you don't hit the combo, it feels really, really bad, at least on the old Rel.
Yeah, new Rel's fun, though. I like her. She's probably still too strong, but I feel like that might taint her opinion a little bit too much, seeing it so soon. Same with, like, Ivern, which we're going to talk about right now, where I don't think any of the changes they made is necessarily, like, game-shifting, you know what I mean? He is released in a very strong state, which I think affects our opinions of him.
Yeah, but for like, sure.
The basis of Daisy can apply on hits and his bushes are less permanent things, I think it's probably a good direction overall, I guess.
Yeah, I think so as well. It is kind of hard to say because it is also still new. But it's got to be a good change as well, right? His play rate was so low.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he still has a pretty low play rate. I mean, fucked. I always think it's so interesting when new characters or rework characters have, like, low play rates after. Did you see the post about Renata today?
No, I didn't.
Renata has the second lowest play rate in the game, which is super interesting because I think she's a relatively interesting character. And it's just interesting when new characters, she obviously is like a year old at this point, maybe even like more than a year old, have low play rates, right? Because obviously like the player base doesn't resonate with them or whatever. And Rel was probably one of the lowest play rate characters in the game. Now she's relatively high player, obviously because she's overpowered. But even if I think she gets nerfed, I think still think she has a higher play rate after than she did before.
Yeah, I think so too. But specifically with Renata, I feel like she's really, really bad into enchanters. And enchanters have been the meta for such a long time.
That's what a lot of people were saying. Like, I usually don't like agree with Reddit too much, but like it feels like she's very much she's one of the supports that you kind of have to counterpick with, right? She's this character who has engaged tools, right? Her Q's like pretty fun to use. Her ult obviously is insane. Mm-hmm. Her bailout's a really good ability. Like, all those abilities are sick, but like because her Q's low range, because her ult needs like setup, it feels like you have these niche scenarios where she's good.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you can't be a Rel one trick. You can't be a Renata one trick. Obviously, you could be, but, like, you have a lot of losing lanes if you're just picking Renata every game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I think she's interesting. I fucking like her a lot. I just think that I understand. I honestly don't think it's actually her thematic or how fun she is to play or how weak or strong she is. It just feels like she might be one of the only like counterpick supports.
Yeah. And that's a good way to put it because a lot of them are, you know, just lock them in. It doesn't really matter what the opponent picks. So yeah, that's definitely a drastic shift.
Cool. That's kind of it for all the midscopes. Do you think midscopes overall are a success? Would you like to see more of them? Would you like to see like other types of scopes? Obviously, like, because we're at the point now where we're seeing like, I would say one full champion rework a year, like Udyr this year, Fiddle next year. Was it Fiddle next year? I think it's Fiddle, right? No, Skarner.
Wait, we already had Fiddle. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what character it was. We're seeing comprehensive gameplay updates, which seems like the middle between champion reworks and champion midscopes, which was really in Soul. And then we're seeing midscopes, which we're seeing upwards of like five a year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's a good middle ground. Like the reality is it's spices stuff up. Like, what's the lowest pick rate character in the game right now, like overall, I wonder?
Oh, I don't know, that's a good question.
Let me check. It's already all ranks. Yeah, all ranks pick rate, lowest pick rate is, I'm trying to find someone who's like their main role, because I don't
know. Yeah, yeah, you're not gonna be like Sona top or whatever.
Yeah, because everything's off role for these characters. It seems like fuck, everything's off roll. I wish there was a good way of doing this. A site that has like all data.
Yeah,
all
like the metapics.
I'm assuming it's something like Skarner, which makes sense because he's getting like the rework. But after that, I wouldn't know what it is. Because like that character would be the character I'd look at, right?
Yeah, I guess we can just kind of look by role. Like Wukong top, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, I found a better site. I'm using OP.GG. The lowest pick rate character in the game is... Oh, this is no, it's every role still. What the fuck? I don't know how to do this.
Looks like 0.6% is the lowest pick rate for anything that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
I guess... I don't know. Skarner, Veigar mid, Tom Kench bottom.
Talia's pretty low. Yeah,
Veigar, AD carry, things like that.
Yeah, none of those stand out as like they need to be like changed though, right? Compared to like
yeah.
Skarner's an obvious one. When I see Skarner at the bottom of like jungle picks, I go, that character needs to be changed, which he is, which is fucking good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like that would be a good round table.
Yeah,
which I'm sure we probably have already asked. Yeah, well, I guess we've done rework, but maybe not mid scope.
Yeah, probably maybe next week I'll do like what character you want to see changed and what type of rework do they need, like full scale, comprehensive, or mid scope sort of thing. But
yeah,
cool.
Awesome. Should we get into the roundtable now?
Yeah, so last week's question was, what are your goals for next Splits Ranked Climb from our Twitter? Nasejo says, I'm new to rank. So when the new rank comes out, Emerald would be great, but honestly, I'm not sure if I'm motivated enough for the number of games necessary. Trevor, our new patron, says, I've been playing League for about 6 months and only this last split in ranked, so going from bronze to at least silver and hopefully gold would be epic. That would be epic. And then from our Discord, Shinku says, I work full time. I have a family. I play multiple games a day. Honkai Star Rail, Punishing, Grey Raven, Call of Dragons, Monster Hunter, Diablo 4. I hit gold as AD carry, support, jungle. Now I want to hit gold as mid lane. Hey, join our mid lane,
Joe.
Yeah. Actual Yordle says, Emerald Ivern only. Frosty says, I hit my Master Tier promos a couple of times, but never cracked into it. Been a streaky player, end up dropping back down to D2, D3. So hopefully I can break that barrier on my main account. Then we'll be competing on a new account with a friend in our own off-roll challenge to try to break diamond on this fresh account playing support only. Wow.
Hell yeah, that's sick.
How that goes. And then CMK said, my first season playing ranked consistently, and I made it high silver starting from placement in iron. Wow. I'm hoping to be able to make it to high gold, if not low emerald next split. That's an awesome goal.
That's awesome, yeah. What a climb.
Yeah, that's sick. I've seen like a ton of people like start in iron this season and make it to like silverish, which is really, really good to see.
And
shows that you're making improvement.
You know what? Special shout out to Oklahoman for hitting diamond. And was the subject of one of our Discord discussions, where you thought like maybe I should just make another account and try to climb on that, and like, you know, maybe I don't think he ever thought like, oh, maybe my account is cursed and I can't win with it, but you know, definitely had some
soul code blues.
Yeah, had some feelings based on like things that we had discussed on the podcast before, and toughed it out, hit a nice win streak, and end up reaching a rank that he had never reached before. So hey, if he can do it, so can you. Just don't give up.
Yeah. This week's roundup question is, who is a champion that you think is easier than they look, and who is a champion that you think is harder than they look? Why?
Ooh. This is a tough one. A bit of a toughie. I feel like LeBlanc is a character that looks easier than she is.
Mm-hmm.
And a character who's harder. That one, I don't know. Probably Cassante.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like... Okay, obviously, like, he's just, I don't know, picked all the time in every role in forever. But
I think you're
like,
right,
pretty
though.
Tough to play.
I mean, like, we had this long discussion in Discord, I think, yesterday, where, like, he is the lowest win rate, like, first-time character in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, so, like... The example I use, because we were like comparing, like, oh, someone said he's a bad character because he's a 45% win rate, right? Which I think most high elo players will say that he's probably one of the best characters in the game. He's definitely the best top laner in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hard to say. It's weird to say because he has a 45% win rate, right? But the issue is, if you look at first tying stats in Plat Plus, he starts at 42% win rate for people who are first timing him. And then it takes him like 30 games to get up to 50%, which compare him to Ornn, man. Ornn, game one, if you're playing Ornn for the first time in Platinum, you're at a 50% win rate on that character.
That's so funny.
And in
10
games, you're like 60%. Like,
huh.
Like the difference like is crazy. So he's obviously a pretty steep learning curve character for like top lanes.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, and I don't know. There's a reason he's continually picked. I feel like every single game in competitive, I think he only has
like 97%.
He only has the one bad matchup in like Jax, and that's basically it.
And that's even like a skill matchup, I would say.
Yeah.
Like,
and what a fun skill matchup it is to watch, to be honest. That's a fun one.
Cool. For myself, I think my character that is harder to play than they look is Katarina. Okay. I feel like a ton of people like to do the, like, oh, roll your face on the keyboard thing. I think she's actually like super hard to play. I also think she's hard to pick up. I think she's harder to pick up than she is to play overall, if that makes sense. Like, I think you have learning dagger placements and when to drop daggers is not intuitive at all. That's something that you have to watch a video on. You're not fucking picking up Katarina and in 10 games figuring out how to optimally place daggers, I think.
Yeah.
But I also think she's like harder to play like later in the game too. People like act like you just build a couple items and then she kills everyone. But I don't think that's the case.
I think it's the same thing that like I will readily admit this. I have this with Aurelia. Where like because you see like all these, I don't know, Synapse clips and things like that of you know, they're 1-0-1 at, I don't know, like 4 minutes and then they 1v2 the jungler like pretty easily. But the amount of times they get the mark resets and procs off of the queue and things like that is like it is pretty hard to do that reliably. So obviously a character, if you can do that, should be rewarded.
Yeah, for sure. I also think like it's one of those things where a lot of people conflate the idea of like her being easier because she can go bottom lane, she kills people. Like I do think she has one of the easier roam to kill success rates out of mid laners.
Yeah.
But I don't think that like that feels like it's separate from her being hard to play or easy to play. You know
what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
Like it's like the same thing with like in theory you could interpret this question as like I think Illaoi is hard to play because she's hard to win on, right? Which that's kind of not really the question, right?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Cool. And then my character that I think is way easier to play than they look is fucking Riven. I fucking think Riven's actually like a pretty easy character. I think she's actually kind of hard to win on, by the way. I just think that like all the hard parts about Riven are all things that you don't have to do, right? You don't need to animation cancel. You don't need to fast combo. You don't need to do any of that stuff to play Riven to a like winnable level. I just think that like that's where all of her hardness comes from. Like if you're playing Riven to 100%, I think she probably is close to one of the hardest characters in the game. Just think that 99% of the players don't play her to that level and do fine with her.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
I'm also a Riven hater, so.
Understandable. Cool. If they want to send in their answers,
they can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. They can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or they can come into our Discord and post in a roundtable. That's discord.gg/leaguecast.
Sweet. We are going to jump into mail fight now. And the first email is from Big Mike. Hey boys, wanted to hear your takes on true damage. I play a lot of Ornn, and thankfully I'm only silver, so I don't see many Fioras, but man, is that champ busted. You don't even have to play her particularly well into tanks, and she just wins because of her true damage and healing. Do you think true damage is balanced, and should I just get good? If it isn't balanced, then how would you change it? Big Mike. I think this is a very good response to the question you just posed, Aiden, because I actually think Fiora is relatively difficult to play, at least to the level that a lot of people make it out to be. I think a large amount of the frustration with Fiora is the like misuse of abilities when she still has her riposte up, her parry. You know, if you are, I don't know, I'm just going to pick something really, really like super obvious. But if you're Udyr and you're running at Fiora with Bear Stance, right? Or Ram Stance now. That's a pretty easy parry. But, you know, so if you let her get the parry off and die as a result of it, you know, oh, that character's so OP. Well, why did you use that stance while she had, like, the counter up for it? And I think a lot of players don't really consider there's a lot of abilities that are just worth holding on to, so she isn't able to riposte them. But then she's down an ability. So I don't know. There's something to be said about her being a squishy melee character. She does a lot of damage, but she, once that parry's down, like, she's pretty, I don't know. She's pretty vulnerable.
I guess, yeah, my opinion on, like, that specifically, is that it's weird, because I do think she's a character that varies a lot by ELO.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where I think that, yeah, sure, if you're, like, playing low ELO, maybe Fioros feels super OP, but she's one of the few characters that, like, you'll constantly hear pros talk about how she's a good character if you're playing in Korea because you have 9 ping, right? Mm-hmm. She's one of the few characters that at the top level of play, it matters that you have, like,
yeah,
30 ping, right? Like, if you have a 30 ping, like, there's people who'll be like, you'll see, like, a pro, like, come from Korea and play in NA, and they'll be like, oh, Fiora's unplayable on 30 ping, mm-hmm. or, like, 40 ping or whatever, which yeah. is fucking crazy to say. Obviously, she's not actually unplayable there. But, like, my only gripe with Fiora that I'll give him some credit for is that I think that there's been a lot of stuff in the game recently that has made her easier. I think, for example, her going grasp, I think in like 90% of matchups now, has made her a lot easier than when you'd go like Conqueror or like even Fleet or what, anything like that. She grasp trades probably too easily.
That's fair.
When she can like grasp into like what's the healy
Sunderer.
She can grasp into Sunderer proc people like really, really easily. I think that's like a little bit lame. I think when you get to the higher levels of play and Fiora start using their riposte as an attack speed slow rather than as this really cool counter move. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that makes me be like, fuck this character, man. Yeah. It's so lame. That being said, at her core though, she's still one of the hardest characters that all high level players will be like, damn, you need low ping to play this character or else like she's not playable.
Yeah, yeah, you need low ping in good hands.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, it was just a funny juxtaposition where we had that, and then the, you know, you just win because of damage and healing. How do you feel about true damage as a whole, I suppose?
It's needed for the game, right? Like, I'm not necessarily, like, the biggest fan, especially when there's characters who have a lot of it. Like, I think Gwen probably does too much true damage. I think Camille's honestly not that bad anymore. She used to be like kind of a menace with it. Like I don't ever feel bad about Vayne or Cogma's true damage, for example. Like I think there's just some characters that maybe like use it too well, but overall it's a needed part of the game. I don't think you could have the game in its current state without having access to true damage on characters.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel as well. Like I think the issue is not necessarily true damage, it's like max HP scaling true damage, where it doesn't really feel like you have the ability to counter it with any purchase or anything like that. But at the end of the day, I also don't think it's the absolute worst that you're not able to counter it, because the intent is that you're building it on characters to kill like tanky characters, and you know, if you historically, at least, armor and MR have been like very powerful items. So I'm kind of okay with there being a way to counter that, I guess.
Yeah, it just feels like, let's just say we rebalance the game, so like there's no true damage. It's like, fuck, man. It makes characters like Cog, Vayne, Camille just feel like you just give them more damage in the place. You know what I mean? Like, imagine Vayne, but like, instead of having the true damage.
You are saying Cog. I think he only has the true damage on his passive.
Oh, it's just max health damage. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Yeah, sorry. In my head, it's like always true damage. But yeah, it's just magic damage for that.
Oh, he just hits me so hard. It's always true damage.
Yeah, because it's such a high percentage. Yeah. No, but like, let's just say Vayne, for example. Okay. Imagine her third proc is just like a burst of physical damage.
Yeah, she's butt cheeks then, right? Like, I would say almost borderline unplayable.
Even if you like buff it to like the point where it does like comparable damage, it's just like, I don't know, man. It just feels so sad, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm okay with it being the game. I can understand the frustration of trying to play a tank who is behind and like trying to match a split of a character with a lot of true damage. And there's like, what am I going to build into Fiora that she can't just kill me still? But I also think like to some degree, like that is Fiora's purpose, is to beat tanky champions in a 1v1. So don't be in a scenario where she's allowed to excel in that in her strength. So
yeah, you're also playing a role that like overall has pretty hard counters. So like, if you are like first picking your Ornn, like you are leaving yourself open to like lots of counter picks. I wouldn't say it's just even Fiora too, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like it's partially probably the role that makes you feel that way a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. Counter picking top lane feels really really bad. So
like, if you're playing, let's just say he's like a tank Sejuani jungle main, he probably like, even though like that character has the same weakness of true damage,
yeah,
from like Fiora, he probably like wouldn't feel as bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Which I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, because you're not laning versus them a lot of the time. It's just, you know, is anytime you gank their lane. But
do you ever like have a character that you ban every game, and then you've banned them for like 3 months or whatever? So you go, you know what? It's probably not that bad. And then you don't ban them, and then you get your shit kicked in.
Yes, absolutely. Every yeah. once in a while, it'll be a Pike.
Yeah,
I have a gap in my fucking brain when it comes to playing against Pike. I don't think he's like OP or anything like that, but like, Jesus, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's just super funny. Mm-hmm.
Cool. How about you? Anything you have one like that? Or
I mean, I just like, I go back and forth between banning Gwen and Fiora. I'll ban like a Fiora every single game, and then I'll be like, fuck, I just lost to a Gwen. So like, I'll ban Gwen for a game.
Oh,
and they'll pick
I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll be like, why the fuck did I do that?
That's so funny, actually.
But it's always good.
Cool.
Cool. Next email is from Neyu. It says, Aiden, on behalf of Team One, Neyu, Little PP, Titties and Bitties, Spider, Demon Speed, thanks you for putting this together. It's been really fun. And especially for myself, it's been a great way to enjoy playing some champs that I've never touched before. Looking forward to another tournament. Thank you again, Neyu. P.S. No, I will not stop being an OTP quit. That's funny. I'm glad people like got to play stuff that they normally wouldn't play. It's fun watching people play stuff.
Yeah, it was really fun. We got to see a lot of, I think, variance between trying to take the game really seriously and make a good comp and just having like wacky shit because you have, like, you drafted it, you know, or you got, yeah, you got dealt it.
Yeah, for sure. It was a blast. I really liked it. I'm glad people also enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Cool. And our last email is from Aiden. Hello, hello, League House crew. It's Aiden here, aka IkeMain420AG on Discord, aka FunkyPantsOw on the Rift. Maybe it's FunkyPantsOw.
Ow.
Ow. And one of the newer patrons. It's been a long time since I've emailed, but nevertheless, I'm still an avid listener. I started working a job with a long commute this summer, so I've been listening to all the old episodes of the podcast on your website. I love hearing about League before I started playing. It's super interesting learning about how much of a problem Sylas was, what you thought of Yuumi when she came out, and your reaction to the end of Twisted Treeline. I was expecting you guys to have a very sad initial reaction to the end of the 3v3 mode, but you all seemed glad they would be focusing their resources in other places. Just wish I was able to try it out once or use it for custom games. I'm also wondering if there are any older episodes than the ones on the website I can listen to. To my knowledge, they go back to March 2019, when they reworked Kayle and Morgana. I also had a simple question for you guys. What is the best play you've witnessed live, whether it was watching a pro game or playing a game yourself? For a pro game, I'm not an avid viewer, and have only been watching on and off the past couple years. The best play I remember watching live was Cloud9 Fudge's Lee Sin Insect on RNG Gala Zaya. He played amazing all game, and Lee Sin is just so fun to watch in general. Let me know what you guys think. Speaking of great live plays, I was on Team 4 Gragbod this past weekend, and I'm so glad our closest game was streamed. It was the game we played to Mirarel, and we had some crazy exhilarating team fights. The format was super cool, and I really liked how we played against our own champion pool for 3 games, just like we played it for 3 games. Thank you so much for hosting. Can't wait for the next one. Sorry for the long email, Aiden. So should we approach this like just from the top, you think?
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good way.
Are you aware of any older episodes?
No, when we like redid our hosting and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we swapped everything over, and it was kind of like the discussion of like, should one of us spend days of our time downloading all the old episodes and then re-uploading them somewhere mm-hmm. else? And we went, nah. we only have up to then locally hosted, and then on stuff like Spotify, it only like shows the last 100, but I think we have like anything back to like, yeah, the Kayle Morgana like update, which is still like 3 years, but
mm-hmm. but yeah, understandable if you wanted to listen to more.
Yeah,
Yeah, it just would cost us a decent amount of time.
Just more time
and effort
than anything,
to do it. Yeah. So we have opted against it. Next up, what is the best pro play we've seen live?
Pro play or like something in your games.
Oh, or in our games.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm never going to
see
remember,
like people
yeah.
in your games that
yeah,
are
they pop
better
off.
Than...
If you have something in mind, you can go ahead. I'm still thinking.
Yeah, I was just going to say like probably like the Cloud9 TSM 2016 final, 2015 summer final, where it's okay. like the double evolution play. Mm-hmm. Versus like we're kind of like 1v5 Cloud9. That play yeah. is like really, really cool. Mostly because I was there live. I think that's like probably why it sticks out the most.
Yeah.
That being said, literally, I was talking about Nick before. I've been playing on my like Smurf account, which is like D3 or whatever. Last night I play against like obviously like a challenger booster. I play on this guy's account, and he might be the best solo queue player I've ever played against. Like, not even like joking either. Like, obviously sometimes people overreact, but like,
yeah.
I don't even know how like a Yone plays this well consistently. Man, like every single time, like he'd like go in like do all the shit perfectly, and then we'd be like, "Holy fuck, that was crazy!" And then he'd just immediately come at us again from a different angle,
like, do it the like, exact same like perfect way.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Oh fuck, mm-hmm. we were all reset calling under tower. We just got like fucked up by him." But then he comes over a raptor wall doing the exact same shit.
Yeah.
Like, it happened like 3 or 4 times. Where I'm like, "This guy is relentless."
Yeah, I had a Yone today. Like, probably the only reason I even won that game. But pretty, like, that character's so cool. I really wish I had picked him for my mid lane pool.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something we can talk about in the future, because I feel like I would like to make a change. Just one.
And Colton and I talked about it a little bit, like, just the two of us. We were saying that, like, we should, at the very least, even if we don't do... Like, we can decide if we want to, like, change up characters mm-hmm. before we start or whatever. But, like, I think at the very least, like, doing it, like, every 2 weeks, we can each add a character or something like that wouldn't be, like, a bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. Or like even like every week, like we rotate one of us as a character wouldn't be like bad. I don't know. It's just like something to like keep it fun. The reality yeah. is it's supposed to be a fun thing. So
yeah, for sure. I think I'm going to go with, there's one particular, Baron fight in the, spoiler. I'm going to pick a CLG moment, but in the CLG SKT group stage game in I think it was 2015 MSI 2016 MSI maybe, where it's just like I don't know, it's played like perfectly from like from the CLG members. The like get a poppy slam onto Faker's LeBlanc. It just like I don't know, super hype at the time. It felt like, holy shit, like CLG's going to beat a Korean team. So I probably that one. That whole game is really fun though. And then I also feel the same way about the RNG game where they were down like 10k gold and came back.
For
cool.
sure.
And then I guess just a bit of thankfulness for the for the format. So a lot of people feeling positive about that one.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Aiden, and thank you, Aiden, this one. And thank you to everyone for listening. If you want to send us an email, it's mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLoudoutBlueBasket and LeagueCastFrost. On LeagueCast, on Twitter, we are LeagueCast. I'm really tired. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast, and support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.